There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Let's go!
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM as we welcome you back in South Point Sportsbook Studio. I'm Ben Wilson with Mike Pritchard. Follow him, M.I. Pritchard, on the Twitter machine there. Great to have you.
Great to
have
great you. Great to be with you, Ben.
With us. It's always such a treat.
Absolutely.
Get to do these shows with you, especially in studio, just talking football. It's always a pleasure. Matt Santos, who Michael Lombardi for a second mistook for a ESPN NFL insider yesterday.
Okay.
He kept saying he was trying to talk about Mike Sando's NFL quarterback rankings, and he kept saying, you know, Matt Santos's NFL quarterback rankings are out. And I was like, wow, Matt, he really – overnight, all of a sudden, he's doing rankings for ESPN.
So anyway, Steve Mackinnon, owner of a football
Steve
team.
Steve Mackinnon, NFL owner,
NFL
Matt Santos. Producer slash ESPN NFL
here
quarterback guru. We got a lot of star-studded names here. Thanks to Matt Hicks, our technical director downstairs. Jeff, Kevin, also in the house as well today. We will get to some baseball this hour. We'll get to some UFC this hour. Lou Finocchiaro joins us in about a half hour's time. Only one game underway right now in the Major League Baseball card. Nothing, top of the second between the Braves and Phillies. And they have a rain delay, actually, in Detroit. So we'll maybe preview that game in a little bit. They've moved that start back 1:30 p.m. Eastern now is what we're showing between Yu Darvish and Tarik Skubal. Padres at Tigers. A bunch of day baseball as well. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. After all the NFL discussion as well, Mike, in hour number one, we transition a bit here to some win totals in college football. You and I talked Pac-12 last time we were on together. How about the SEC this year? And what Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide are going to look like. Wild to think. I mean, when you came into the league, he was an assistant there in Cleveland. Come a long way since then, Nick Saban. And now the Alabama win total, it's fascinating to me that this is the only win total out there. Now, depending on the shops, there are some who have hung Ohio State at the same number, but you're looking at 11.5
right,
over plus 110, essentially meaning for Alabama to go undefeated this year, plus 110, which is a pretty amazing when you think about it. However, when you consider the way they have reloaded, number one, recruiting class coming in by a pretty wide margin for the guys who will contribute this year, a quarterback in Bryce Young who is back, second favorite on the Heisman board, what do you expect out of a program like that that has been consistently elite and is coming off one of the more disappointing finishes they have had in recent years, albeit, you know, it's a loss of the national championship
game.
For most programs, you'd be proud of that, but Not in Tuscaloosa.
You know, it's an interesting bet, though, for Alabama to go undefeated. You know, you think about turnover and then the reload aspect of this program, and they do it better than anybody. But then Saban, to get the buy-in that he can get, think about it. Bryce Young could be the number one overall draft choice after this season. But what's more important to him? Is it winning a national championship, going undefeated, winning a national championship? Because it's not about winning the SEC at Alabama. It's about winning the national championship. This is a school that's missed the college football playoff one time. So look for wagers that way if you can find them. I don't think you can. That's favorable. But this is all about winning a national championship. So the motivation for me, for Young, is it about that or securing your spot as the number one overall pick, perhaps? But I think Saban gets that type of buy-in from these players. He's got a phenomenal defensive player that could go number one overall, if you think about it, too. So
Anderson is getting some Heisman buzz now, sub 30-1
right,
as a linebacker.
As a linebacker. So the tackles for losses for this guy, I know the sacks are out there, but he's all over the field. So the buy-in and the comments from Saban, too, like he's enjoying in this group. I mean, you're hearing all that. And so it's a unique situation. I could not bet that win total, though. I mean, because you could see at some point throughout the year, even though the playoff is their number one goal and winning a national championship is their number one goal, you know, could they stub their toe a little bit? Could they have a lapse? You know, could they not have their best mm-hmm. game? A lot of turnover, wide receiver position. They're going to run the ball a little bit more, apparently, because of transfers, too. But we'll see. We'll see how it comes together for this team. Going to the playoffs is a given, though, for this institution.
Yeah, and look, if we're being real here, there are so many more bets that have a lot more, mm-hmm. a lot more, at least a lot more general desire for me to make than the over 11.5. Now, as we showed a second ago, there are some books who are hanging 10.5. Okay. You just have to lay a massive amount of juice, minus 230 or so. Mm. Alabama's about that same exact price to make the college football playoff. If it's me, just look, lay either, if you have the bankroll, lay the larger number to take the 10.5, or just play the minus 140 on them. That's the BetMGM number to win the SEC championship. If that is the direction you're looking at, bring in Jahmyr Gibbs, the standout running back from Georgia Tech. That was the big transfer you were alluding to, mm-hmm. who comes in this year. Because as you point out, and you were part of a national championship team that you didn't go undefeated. But I mean, there are a lot of, and you also had a very, very tough schedule as well. There is a team in this conference that I want to get your take on in a second who has a Mike Pritchard, Colorado Buffalo-esque schedule this season. But the point being, you can still, and we've seen this in the SEC, given how much respect the betting market and the College Football Playoff Committee has for it, you can pretty easily get by even with stubbing your toe once. And Alabama has done that multiple times, mm-hmm. including last year winning the SEC and getting to the playoff, even with that loss there to Texas A&M.
Right, because chances are there'll be an SEC championship game, and then all of a sudden, okay, you got another chance to redeem yourself right there, getting back into the playoff situation. So I like this squad. I really do. It's just, we saw last year Georgia be able to do what they were what they did. I rode them out. I had that ticket since mm-hmm. the beginning of the year after the Clemson game in terms of winning the championship. But, you know, even with an elite defense like that, it was still dicey at times, you know, during the regular season. So Alabama, you know, I think it could be dicey, but yet they're good enough and superior enough to overcome situations that would make a ticket on them going undefeated kind of miserable at times, kind of stressful at times, right? Maybe another way you look at it, too, for Alabama to go undefeated, could Bryce Young go back-to-back years with Heisman? I mean, those situations right there exist, too. So there's some unique ways to bet Alabama, I believe, more so than looking at the over 11.5. Or, I mean, the under 11.5 on our board right here is minus 135.
Yeah, Young plus 350 right now. C.J. Stroud at BetMGM, your favorite, at 2-1. And part of the handicap as well, you're looking at the other teams in the SEC West where you would say, mm-hmm. okay, well, if Alabama were to slip up once, could a team, and Texas A&M is second on the odds board, at least to do that, could a team in the West usurp them, have a crazy undefeated run, and actually leave them out of the SEC title game, which is really the only way they would not get in at that point, assuming they were to then win the SEC championship game. I'm sorry, Texas A&M. I know you get Zach Calzada out of there, who had some pretty vicious struggles at times a season ago. He transfers out. You bring in Max Johnson in, the quarterback from LSU. This is a team that beat Alabama last year, though, and still lost four games.
Right.
It is the classic case of a program, Mike, that loves to talk a big game, and Jimbo Fisher has never been able to back it up. He just has it. Now, I know they have a really good recruiting class coming in for next year, and he has done a lot of great things to get very, very highly touted players to College Station. You see how heavily the over 8.5 is juiced to the minus, and part of that is a fairly weak non-con, although that Miami game will be very, very interesting with Mario Cristobal and company heading to College Station. I just don't see it with Texas A&M. That's really the one that team in Arkansas are the two teams I see as the potential challengers in the SEC West, Pritch. And I'm not going to fall for all the bluster in the offseason. Okay. I don't know about you with A&M. What do you see
with
that team?
You know, it's fascinating, though, Ben, because this is a team that did that those things with a backup type quarterback, though, right?
I get it. Yeah.
Got all the injuries too, and you think about the roster, you think about the job Jimbo did too. But now people know about you a little bit more, and that's different. I remember how funny college football can be because my squad, Buffs, we played Texas A&M at Mile High Stadium in Denver, and almost we should have won the game. We should have won the game, and I think Colorado has a different year if they beat Texas A&M with a backup quarterback. But that didn't happen. A&M was able to make plays at the end of the game and win that. And then, you know, they go on and have the type of year that they have. So there's optimism. I get it. They've recruited very well. I understand that too. But I just don't know if the program is on that consistency level at the top that we see from Bama and certainly Georgia. So, yeah, it's tough for me to think that A&M could come out of that division that way and represent the SEC in that division in a SEC championship game.
Look, and you compare Texas A&M to another team. To me, these are the two challengers. Their big rival in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's funny to think back to that Colorado game, which, as you point out, could have gone either way for Texas A&M last year. This is a crazy schedule. We're going to show it in a second. Mm-hmm. Arkansas, this is, like I said, very Colorado Buffs early 90s reminiscent here of what you guys went through. You had non-con games against Tennessee that year, right?
Mm-hmm. SEC, Tennessee, Washington, Stanford from the Pac-10, Illinois from the Big Ten, and then Texas from the Southwest Conference.
Just amazing. That was your non-con. Arkansas opens up with Cincinnati, who was just in the college football playoff. Really the only cakewalk game on there would be the FCS team, Missouri State. I mean, Liberty, one of the tougher non-Power 5 teams you're going to face, albeit they get them in Fayetteville, at BYU, true road game in Provo. So I love what Sam Pittman has done here. And I don't know, I feel like in today's day and age of college football, you don't make a schedule like that unless you believe you have the personnel to do it. And they had one of the best portal transfer classes in the country. That's right. What we have to do now, Mike. We have to not only grade the recruiting classes, but the transfer portal recruiting classes. They get Jaden Hazelwood from Oklahoma. They get Drew Sanders from Alabama. Those are a couple of former five-star recruits. The rankings had them 11th best portal transfer for class in the nation. Win total is 7.5, I would say, largely because of that really tough schedule, right? And it's obviously juiced to the under, as you can see, at minus 145.
Right. Not a lot of faith right there with Arkansas, that football team. You know, when you have a quarterback like KJ Jefferson, though, gives you a chance. Now, Burks, they're going to have to replace him from a big play standpoint, which you would think the transfer portal could help that. But a decent amount of starters coming back. I want to say 11. Starters are returning off the year that they had 9-4. When schools schedule like this, you know, who knows when the schedule was made for sure, right? And you think about it, but BYU is one of those institutions that as an independent, they're looking for these type of marquee games. And it looks like that could be an ambush situation for Arkansas too up there in Provo. So yeah, it's a tough schedule, but if they go through and navigate that, look for this team certainly in one of those bowl situations.
Look,
absolutely.
Five years ago, right, I was still covering the SEC in Missouri. Arkansas was just a pit of despair and hopelessness. The job Sam Pittman has done, this will be his third year, to turn around that program so immediately, you could not have sold me at all on Arkansas being in this position now. I'm pretty high in entering 2022. Up next, we will talk all things MLB, preview today's slate. That's next.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We're back on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. I'm Ben Wilson with Mike Pritchard, who is like not just an NFL college football guy. We can talk all things baseball. You've got your portfolio. How's that coming along?
Not too bad. Yeah. You know me, Ben. I'm about the lower left to the upper right with my bankroll, and as long as it does that, I'm okay.
As long as it works, you're going good.
So lower left, as long as my bankroll is increasing, I'm happy with that. So the portfolio has been good. Just following 10 teams intimately in terms of trying to understand the culture, trying to understand the manager and how they go about their business with their rosters and certainly the bullpens. I mean, certainly the data that we get from Mackinnon has been helpful for me.
Yep.
There's a run line situation. Adam Burke's been incredible too for helping me out with this portfolio. So those are teams you could bet against, look at
different prop situations. What are your 10? Can you rattle them off for us? I can.
I have
a lot of NL West.
Yeah. Oh, Toronto. How about that? This is at the beginning of the year. I formed this portfolio.
So Blue Jays?
Yep. Yankees, White Sox, Mariners, Mets, Braves, Phillies, which has been disappointing a little bit. The Cardinals, because it's a culture. It's just one of those teams, which is interesting because of the situation that they're going through right now.
I've watched baseball in the NL Central my whole life.
Right.
And I've not been really a Cardinal fan, but I know firsthand what that culture is like. They just find ways to win.
Yeah, Rockies and Dodgers. Rockies, because you know I lived there in Denver forever, and I kind of know that organization from the ownership on down and what they typically do. So that's been profitable. And then the Dodgers, I mean, the teams that I mentioned, like I had an inkling that Toronto could have the year that they're having. I didn't know they're going to fire their manager. The Phillies fire their manager too. How about that? Waiting for the White Sox to fire their manager. That's not happening, though. It's just been an interesting year with my portfolio so far.
Well, you got a couple matchups where two of your teams face off tonight, and we have to figure out where the value lies.
Right.
Just to clean things up, first, one game underway already, and that is a couple of your teams as well doing battle. Braves-Phillies, nothing, top of the third right there. It looks like the Braves at MGM, a live $1.50 favorite right now, plus 110 on Philadelphia, 6.5 live total at minus 115. Meanwhile, Yu Darvish and the Padres, who was amazing, beat Max Scherzer the last time out for him. That was Friday night in New York. He makes his second start coming out of the break against Tarik Skubal and the Tigers, but that's in a rain delay. It looks like first pitch coming up in about 15 minutes there. Padres and Darvish, $1.45 favorites at BetMGM. Tarik Skubal and the Tigers, plus 120. Total of 7 there, juiced over at minus 120.
What do you think about that price on Darvish, minus 145?
So it's just been a weird series for San Diego because they come out, they looked so good against the Mets, but had a pretty obvious letdown after Sunday Night Baseball where they had a lead in that game. Mets bats woke up late, had the Pete Alonso 3-run homer, really turned the tide. Come out Monday night, get absolutely destroyed. Sean Manaea was horrific. And they looked completely disinterested, which you see sometimes. Come out yesterday, have a big lead early. You think it's just going to be a cruise job. But the bullpen faltered, and that bullpen was on Steve Mackinnon's bottom 10 list. Mm-hmm. We had Steve on earlier in the show. Bullpen faltered, had to win the game in extras, and we're pretty fortunate. Like, if you took the run line at plus money yesterday with the Padres, that went from easy winner to maybe a bad beat to you get lucky and you win by two in extra innings. So that price, while it feels maybe deceptively low, this has just been an odd series for San Diego. They have really not appeared to be locked in. Been a couple series like that. I bet the Astros last night in Oakland, the hottest team coming out of the All-Star break, sweep Seattle in Seattle, take a doubleheader sweep from the Yankees. I had them last night, and they've lost two straight to the A's. So there have been some weird series, especially when you compare some of these juggernaut teams at the top or in the wild card positions like San Diego to some teams who are out of it with nothing to play for, especially a lot of these teams trying to showcase their talent. The bottom teams, I'm saying, right before the trade deadline, A's did that last night with Frankie Montas in his last start. For the Tigers, who have a number of trade pieces as well, they've at least been playing somewhat inspired baseball.
They
someone I would probably stay away from. Again, well, getaway day as well for the Padres.
Right, but it's interesting because Darvish, and a rain delay could affect things, but earlier today I was looking at the fact that the first five was minus 130 at a book that I was looking at for Darvish, and he's been a bulldog lately. For that situation, and keep in mind with the bullpen, one of the worst bullpens, certainly. And then, but Darvish and his history, too, against the Tigers has been phenomenal for his career.
Bullpen shouldn't really be that bad. Well, and, we saw Mackenzie Gore, too, who his stock has completely fallen off a cliff.
Right.
He got injured last night, or I should say Monday night, in the first game of that series coming out of the pen in more of a long relief role. So, I still believe in this Padre team.
Okay.
I still feel like that is a team with a really good manager in Bob Melvin can find a way to turn things around. And look, let's be real. Fernando Tatis Jr. took batting practice for the first time yesterday in his comeback attempt. Manny Machado has been banged up. Once he gets healthy and you get Tatis in the lineup, that pitching, you would assume they make some sort of deal at the deadline to bolster up either the pen or the starting rotation. Mm-hmm. It's a team that should be in a pretty good position up down the stretch for San Diego. The big game of the night, though, it's the Subway Series, where the Mets win a pretty wild one last night, back and forth early at Aaron Judge, starting things off 38th homer of the year last night. And this is, I can't say this with 100% certainty, Mike, but I'm going to go with like 98% certainty. This is the largest underdog position the Yankees have been in all season. Domingo Herman going for New York against another New York team, Max Scherzer and the New York Mets. At BetMGM, the Mets are up to a $1.85 favorite, seeing the Yankees at plus 150 there. That looks like the best you can do if you wanted to bet the Yankees, just on principle for being as big of a dog as they are, plus 164 at one shop in town. But if you look at New York, the Yankees, objectively, 10-11 in the month of July, it has not been... Certainly, it's been the worst month they've had all year, but it's kind of been the manifestation of what we all figured would happen, which was some sort of regression to the mean,
right?
Like they wouldn't play at 121 pace all season. So you combine that with Max Scherzer, who has been brilliant, even though he got beaten by the Padres on Friday night. I don't know how you can really lay that with the Mets at this price, just out of principle, Mike. But I don't know how else you'd play this because I would not want to bet against Scherzer the way he's pitching.
Mm-hmm.
In a series that has had such an electric environment. I don't know if you were watching that game last night, how well locked and loaded they were at Citi Field, but would not be one I'd play tonight.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm a Yankees player, and, you know, you could look at that situation against Scherzer, though. The Yankees rely on home runs. Scherzer's not going to give up a bunch of home runs like we know. So it does get tough. Can the Yankees manufacture runs the old-fashioned way? Can they get guys on base? Can they advance runners? And can they play baseball that way? I haven't really seen the Yankees do that consistently this year. They've been mashing the baseball. They've been scoring a lot of runs, and they've been getting into pitchers early, too. So Scherzer is just one of those matchups, though, that in a dog situation for the Yankees, it looks attractive. Maybe you can go to some team total situations if you like that matchup. With the Mets and the Yankees pitcher, or some player props even. I mean, you could go all over the place, but just an outright money line situation, that one's a tough one, even for me. And I've been winning money on the Yankees this year.
I know you have. in that portfolio for one Mike Pritchard. Two other teams that you have been owning in on all season. They square off north of the border. What a weird situation it is, though, for St. Louis, who become the latest team to have players missing because of their non-vaccinated status. It just so happens to be in St. Louis. It's their two most impactful players. When Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado sit out of the lineup, they lose last night going away there after a good at least start in that game. They scored a few runs early off Jose Berrios, but the pitching couldn't hold up. They get Adam Wainwright going, who has pretty significant home road splits where he's been much, much better this year if you look at the numbers at Busch Stadium at home against Kevin Gausman, one of the more reliable starters. He and Alec Manoah, the two reliable guys for Toronto. It's a big price delay. We've seen Toronto falter before facing these compromised teams who are on the road without a lot of their top guys because of being unvaccinated. Minus 250, pretty much market wide here. I'm seeing at the BetMGM, you can get an 8. There's a little juice to the over on the total at minus 115. I don't know if there's anything intriguing about, because I still don't trust the Blue Jays in spots like that. I don't know if you feel differently, since you could theoretically on the run line get him at pretty much around a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Trying to take advantage of a Cardinal team without some of their top guys, and with a pitcher in Adam Wainwright who has not been very good away from home this year.
Notable about his splits. Away from home, I stay away from that. Wainwright at home, though, is certainly, I'm looking at a betting situation there. The Cardinals, I'm worried about their culture a little bit. I saw them energize with Pujols a little bit against the Dodgers not too long ago in that series, and it played off. It gave them dividends that way. Pujols, you know, whether he's close to a home run or hitting a home run, he just injected some energy there. And then now, it seems like they're deflated with this Goldschmidt Arenado thing. Arenado is interesting because he wants to go to a winner. He wants to be a difference maker with a team that has a chance to make the playoffs, but yet he's not going to be there for his team. So that dynamic in the clubhouse on this particular event here, this series, has me staying away from this matchup.
This year, Adam Wainwright, 2.01 ERA in 58 and a third innings at home, in 58 innings on the road, 4.81 on the ERA. And the advanced stats tell the same story. It's not like he's been super lucky at home and unlucky on the road. That's just the true nature of Wainwright as a pitcher this year. So a couple of games for us to look at on the MLB card for today. Up next, we'll transition to UFC. Lou Finocchiaro joins the show next here on the Lombardi Line. The VSiN football betting guides are coming soon, and there is no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Reserve your copy of the football betting guides today and get access to everything we offer for the entire football season with a VSiN all-access subscription. Make this football season your best ever. Subscribe now at VSiN.com/subscribe. The guy who joined us last hour, Steve Mackinnon, he will be on Follow the Money tomorrow morning as we have our reveal there of that college football betting guide. Speaking of guests, we've got another guest lined up right now. Lou Finocchiaro, always a pleasure to have Gamblin' Lou on the show. At Gamblin' Lou is where you can follow Lou, our UFC analyst, who you can hear on his Bout Business podcast. You see on our First Strike show with Dave Ross every single Friday. We've got a pretty big card this week, Lou, and I know we were talking last week just about your general process, how you go about trying to find value and looking to break down these cards early. That, look, they seem now, if we're being honest, to happen every single week where you have big cards, even if it's a fight night or a big main event like this one this week. So take us through, because I know you have more in-depth insight you wanted to share with us today about how you go through your own process there.
Well, yes, thank you, both of you gentlemen, for having me on. And really, last week, what I tried to say was that it was kind of an artistic process, which it is, but that might have been a little too esoteric. I'll try and get a little more specific in that. What I try and do is derive what's going to happen in Saturday night's fight, a future event. And what I do is use the physical aspects of a fighter, height, reach, length, age, where they're from, what their fighting style is, with the emotional side. Were they undefeated and just come off a quick loss? Any competitor knows that that's a perfect bounce situation. Or were they beat down and is their momentum poor? So it's like you're making a nice bowl of soup, and you can't have too much chicken. You can't have too much salt. You try and use the exact amount of ingredients that's going to get you to a point where you rely on a position that offers value on Saturday night. Usually what I look for is an underdog that I believe is ready to perform their absolute best. And if I can get that in an underdog or in a favorite offering value, then I will invest that way.
You know, Lou, one of the ways I flatten my learning curve here at VSiN is talking to handicappers like yourself and, okay, understanding the process. How do you do it? Not everybody is giving or forthcoming with their information about how they do it. So appreciate that in terms of what you're looking for, because I think fighting or MMA, different styles, you have strikers that can be different strikers than others, and different styles of fighting, Muay Thai, BJJ. I mean, all this, like, how do you add it all up to where you have a consensus on a decision there for a bet?
Yeah, no, that is what one develops after time. And what I'll say to you, Mike, is just like when you went to Atlanta, whether it was Dion or Ryzen, the secure players take you right under their wing because they're not afraid. You don't threaten them. They're there to teach and learn. That's how it is with the good handicappers. And those that aren't, you don't want in your inner circle anyway.
You talk to Lou Finocchiaro here, and I'm saying you look at the UFC card this week. Like it, there's a lot of tasty matchups as we get into it this week. We just were across the pond there. Very interesting matchups we had there, Lou. What do you make of the main event as we start off this week with Juliana Pena and Amanda Nunes? We're seeing a lot of respect in the betting market for Nunes. For most, even casual UFC bettors would probably expect that, right? Nearly a $3 favorite at BetMGM in the bantamweight title bout. Lou, what do you make of this match here, headlining the UFC 277 card this weekend?
Yeah, rematch where Pena took the title from Nunes, and Nunes did something that is not uncommon for her in her fights, and that is run out of steam. She starts so hot, so ferocious, so forward that few can last 4 or 5 minutes with the strength and the mental attitude that Nunes brings. But that's a little bit bully-like, and what Pena did was, through focus, conditioning, and unrelenting belief, refused to succumb and got smoked a little in the first round, and then Nunes ran out of gas. So I think we're going to get at least... will we get a better conditioned Nunes, more aware that she may have to take this fight into 2 or 3 rounds? One would like to think, but I don't like the fact that she left AT&T, a gym full of killers. At any one day you go in there and there's 40 killers in there. To start her own new gym, her own new business, she's recently a new mom, or in a relationship that she has a child in the last year or so. And I just think there might be a lot going on there. And when I look at the other girl in Pena, she's seemingly got no respect since she won the title. In the first fight, Nunes was minus 900 to minus 1100, depending on where you bet it. And so now you see a tremendous reaction. And if you can set your watch to Nunes being the old Nunes, then maybe. But more importantly for me, I think Pena's going to bring the same determination and get this fight late and find a way to take the will out of Amanda Nunes with her conditioning and her heart.
Lou, how about the other rematch? It's an interim title bout, which is interesting. Moreno, though, won the fight against Carr France first time around, got the decision there. High-volume fighters, doing my research on that. Here you go with some stats. Maybe a striking differential advantage for Carr France. I don't know, but this rematch, how do you see this one going around? Is there a live dog situation at plus 165 with Carr France?
Well, Cara France was minus 160 in the first fight, and both have improved dynamically since. And the recipe for this fight, Mike, is that Moreno is coming off 3 wars with Figueiredo, in which I believe he won at least 2 of them, if not all 3. Be that as it may, Figueiredo is huge for the division and packs tremendous power. So Cara France isn't going to finish Moreno, and Moreno is the more well-rounded athlete. That said, I think after fighting Figueiredo 3 straight times and being prepared for the bludgeoning effect of those hits, Cara France is going to come off real fast and quick and going to surprise Moreno with his footwork and his speed. And in that avenue, I believe Cara France could be a live underdog. Now, here's the last layer to the onion. This is Texas. Moreno's a Mexican fighter. There's nothing but Mexicans in Texas that are going to be at this fight rolling for Moreno. And the Texas State Athletic Commission has been known for dubious home cooking kind of decisions. What's keeping me from being a big backer of Cara France right now? The fact that this fight's in Texas. It's lined to the over heavy. It's going to be a decision, and how's Cara France going to get a fair shake? Yeah. Hate to make it sound like that, but right. I'm a gambler, and that's how I see it.
I see what you did there with the onions, the cooking. You talked about that earlier, Lou. Well, the chef in the kitchen, Lou Finocchiaro, who you follow at GamLou. And you have a couple of write-ups here, these two fights we just talked about, coming up in Point Spread Weekly, so people can get more of the deep dive breakdown as well from you on that. I think it was, 2.5 was the total in the first bout between those two, with heavy juice to the over. So they've adjusted it now more like 4.5, still juice to the over at minus 155. Any other fights on the card, Lou, that are standing out to you that could present some value as we get closer? I know nothing official made from you on anything else yet on the pick, since you're waiting for the weigh-ins and everything like that. But what other fights here jump out to you that could present some interesting betting angles?
In the line, of an underdog that's going to show up with a chip on his shoulder and prepared to give his absolute best is one Anthony Smith, 34 years old, fought the best, the who's who, John Jones, you name it. And he's a dynamic fighter. He's in with this Ankalaev, and he's a plus 400 underdog. That is the most gross misrepresentation of these two fighters' ability that I've seen this year. Now, I'm not saying Smith's going to win, but he's no patsy, and plus 400 is a ridiculous price. I'll be investing in Anthony Smith. I'm in no hurry to do so. Why take plus 400 or 410 when I'll probably get plus 450 day of the fight?
Lou, what about the heavyweights? I mean, you got Lewis, which, look, he's going to size up Pavlovich here, Sergey. But can Sergey, like, how do you see this fight? Because I see these two giants going at it. And which one's going to fall if you see it that way?
Well, that's a great question. Pavlovich has some ability, but we haven't seen him since 2019. There's one fight, and he fought a very undersized Abdurakhimov. And so we can't tell a lot from him, and he's been inactive and had visa trouble. And Derek Lewis is a one-trick pony. If he hits you with his right, you're going to sleep. And this fight, oh, by the way, is in Texas. Derek Lewis, it's Dallas, Texas. Derek Lewis is from Houston. All the blood runs red in Texas. So if this fight should go to a decision, I would think it'd be very difficult for Derek Lewis to get beat.
Always appreciate the insight from one Lou Fitticari. You follow him at Gamblue. He'll be on Friday with Dave Ross, our First Strike show here from VSiN, and all of his plays as well, released on the Bout Business podcast. Lou, such a pleasure always getting to talk with you. Pick your brain on the UFC card. We'll do it again next week here on the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Good luck to everybody.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Lou. They are underway in Detroit, by the way, Mike.
Okay.
So just about a half-hour rain delay there in Detroit. Nothing, bottom of the first between the Padres and Tigers. Nothing game. Pretty good pitching matchup developing there in Philadelphia. Nothing between the Braves and Phillies, top of the fourth. When we return, we go back into some of the college football win totals. I see one interesting news and note piece we haven't gotten to as well in the NFL. A contract change, at least some back-end money being applied forward here to a significant tight end in the game. Get Mike's take on that, then break down some ACC win totals next as we wrap up the show right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're back for the final time on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. And what did we say? Maybe stay away from that Yu Darvish Padres getaway day spot, Mike. Quickly, Jamer Candelario. Jamer Candelario is at 3 homers in this series. Hits an RBI base hit in the bottom of the first. 1-0 Tigers there in the first inning. Kind of glad I stayed away.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the rain delay, too. I mean, Darvish has been a bulldog, though, and if you want to side with that, looking at the first 5, didn't like it because of the delay. And then you look at the game situation, too. It was as high as minus 140. I saw earlier, right before the game, I think it was minus 135 there. But, yeah, you know, you just don't know about the Tigers' situation getaway day, too. And the history for Darvish suggest that he was not going to have any problems, but already in the first inning having problems.
Had 7 quality starts in his last 8, but again, weird things have been happening. It's baseball. It's 162-game season. A bunch of day baseball as well today. We'll have more discussion on that at the network here coming up next with Odds On with Mike Palm and Amal Shawl. We'll kick it out to those guys here in about 15 minutes. Right now, though, Mike, just the one other piece of NFL news and notes that comes out today. Again, not incredibly significant, but now that Rob Gronkowski is retired, you have to say, Travis Kelce, he is the premier tight end in the game. And the Chiefs have restructured his contract a little bit. They moved $3 million from the back end of his deal. So there's no actual change here in the overall money, but they gave him a $3 million raise for this year, essentially.
They gave him a bonus, I think, right?
Yeah. So they basically the adjustment, it's essentially a bonus for this year to compensate Kelce. I mean, when you catch over 90 passes, over 1,000 yards, and 9 touchdowns a season ago, that would certainly make sense. But I would imagine your take on this, you'd think you're trying to make a superstar like that healthy, happy, especially with a guy like Tyreek Hill no longer in the fold there in Kansas City.
You keep Kelce happy, but then also you let other people know if you do it the right way, I guess, or if you do it in accordance to how Kelce has done it, you'll get rewarded. I mean, he was going to have that security anyway, because you think about Kelce and how impactful he's been, how great he's been for Kansas City. Was he going to make that money in the back end of his deal? Probably, but here you go. Show up to camp and you've had a great offseason. Here's $3 million right now. Just here. Just give it to you. Not a bad message, if you ask me, when you think about Kansas City, the messages that they can send to motivate some of these players.
Under contract still through 2025. Right. So as you point out, that money would have gone there eventually. But nice little bonus.
That's
you
not
show
bad.
Up. You do the Mike Pritchard strategy. Come in, hard hat, lunch pail, shorts, T-shirt. No Con Air look, and you get $3 million.
That's right. There you go.
Credit to Travis Kelce there. Gets a little bonus here at the start of training camp. As we transition as well back to college football, we have dived in here last couple of weeks. You and I, Mike, we talked Pac-12 win totals. We talked SEC win totals a little bit earlier today. How about some ACC win totals? Now, if you look at just the general scope of the college football playoff, 3 teams are pretty significantly favored to just make the playoff this year. Alabama, Ohio State, each around minus 250. Then you have Georgia, who's in the minus 125 to 150 range to make the playoff. Then that fourth team is where it gets interesting. Clemson is right around even money to small plus money to be that fourth team. But are we convinced as you look at the win totals here, in an otherwise pretty tame and generally weak ACC, what do we think about Clemson in a position where they could potentially make a return back to national prominence? 10.5 their win total here, but it is juiced under at minus 125.
Yeah, it's juiced under minus 125. I'm not sold on Clemson. I mean, going into last season, they were heralded that way too. You remember DJ got some time and, okay, DJ's going to take over for Trevor. Everything's going to be okay, but it wasn't. I think Clemson showed that they had offensive line problems, but who didn't have offensive line problems against Georgia in that game? Defensively, you know, from reports, Clemson's going to be okay from a talent standpoint. But from a coordination, though, it's going to be different. Venables is gone now.
Wes Goodwin steps in first-year DC.
And it was a unique way that Venables was calling that defense, you know, whether it was his game planning or giving the assignments to the players late in the count signal. I mean, because you have so much look to the sideline to get to play now in college football. So I wonder how they're going to iron that out. But from a talent standpoint, you can't deny what Clemson has on that side of the ball. My questions will be offensively, in particular quarterback and the offensive line. Did they solve the issues that they had up front to make them viable for the playoff again this year?
And even when you think about, and by the way, Wes Goodwin is in his 11th overall season with the program. So it's not just a totally fresh DC, but if you go deep and you look at the splits based on when they've had Brent Venables there as a defensive coordinator and when they have not had him there in the Dabo Swinney era, pretty stark differences. And yeah. Venables now leaves. He's the Oklahoma head coach. So for 10.5, and I'm also not sold on just because DJ Uiagalelei is back, does that automatically mean he's going to turn into the quarterback we all hyped him up to be from a season ago? Certainly you would imagine there's improvement, but to the degree that's being penciled in,
right.
I'm not so sure. And with a 10.5 win total, not much room for error. You've got to be really, really rock solid in your conviction if you want to go over on a team like that. And there are some tough roadblocks. I get it. The ACC as a whole, pretty down in general. But when you go to Notre Dame November the 5th, when you have at least your game against Miami is at home. Miami
right.
perceived to be a pretty good second challenger with Mario Cristobal now moving there as head coach. But at Wake Forest, a team who, I get it, doesn't really have much of a defense, but talk about
that
a
offense.
Test for your own defense
right.
with
right.
Sam Hartman, who might throw 80 billion touchdown passes, give or take a couple, this year there for the Demon Deacons. There are a lot of spots on that schedule you look at and say that things might not go as smoothly as planned necessarily. And again, if you look at that, I mean, 10-2 would not get the job done if you're betting a win total.
I think right in the middle of that schedule, you got Wake Forest and then the next week at NC State. You got NC State at home, excuse me.
Coming to,
NC State's going to be at home. You got them, but NC State's going to be one of those programs that with the right culture, with the right mindset, could be in the ACC championship situation. That's going to be a huge game, really, if you think about it, how big that game's going to be. And then you go to, if you're Clemson, you go to Boston College, Florida State, two back-to-back road games right there. So the back end, you mentioned Notre Dame. You cannot discount what's in front of you prior to getting to that Notre Dame game on the road. And then Miami, too. This schedule just shapes up in the ACC that I believe could be open. I know Clemson's getting a lot of hype, but Clemson, if that quarterback situation isn't solved in terms of the questions that they have right there or self-doubt, you can see changes taking place, and then all of a sudden, okay, what will Clemson do with changes? I think defensively, again, talented, very, very talented, but I want to see the execution come to the forefront. I want to see some evidence that everything's going to be okay on that side of the ball.
Right. In the meantime, you look at that team in the Atlantic Division. You go to the Coastal, which could be a very interesting race where Miami brings in Mario Cristobal after just a 7-win season last year, and they fire Manny Diaz. A lot of change there, new offensive and defensive coordinators, a total regime change in Miami. You also have North Carolina, where you have Mack Brown back for yet another season. Sam Howell, there's a lot of, you think about the buzz surrounding a quarterback of his stature. Very disappointing a season ago for Sam Howell, who was a Heisman Trophy one of the favorites at the start of last year. Those two teams are very similar on the odds board right now. If you look
right.
at it, if you look at the Coastal Division, the top teams with the odds, it is one Miami at 8.5, little juice to the over, -120. And then Pitt is also in there right now, the post Kenny Pickett era. But North Carolina, another intriguing target. In addition to that, 7.5 of those three, and if we're just kind of looking Miami, North Carolina, comparing those two in general, who is the team you would give an edge to heading into this year?
Well, North Carolina replacing Howell and all this, but Mack Brown, he's an excellent recruiter. I think they're going to be okay from a talent standpoint. Miami, there's a lot of hype. Mario certainly recruiting, but just bringing back Ed Reed and Taylor into the program from a culture standpoint, you see what he's trying to do there. Tyler Van Dyke, though, a quarterback. I mean, the year, what kind of year is he going to have there for Miami? I have some question marks with Miami.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to run to the betting table for them. Over 8.5 is -120. I could see that. But, you know, from a standpoint of Carolina, it's are we underestimating them? Mack Brown seems to think so, even though they're replacing
right.
Howell.
It's just funny how you compare, like, new regime in Miami versus
right.
new quarterback situations. It sounds like Drake May will be the guy in North Carolina.
Okay.
And we mentioned Pittsburgh replacing Kenny Pickett. It's just fascinating to juxtapose those situations. Like, how much do you value the regime change versus a new quarterback? You certainly think when you've got a good system in place already
right.
with a recruiter like Mack Brown, you can make a turnaround pretty quickly.
Yeah, when you have a system in place and you have people ready to go, you shouldn't miss a beat. In fact, you could get better. I mean, that's what I'm talking about with NC State. With all those returning starters coming back. So Carolina, even without Howell, who was a tremendous college quarterback, if they have an answer there, they're going to be okay.
We're going to see how that works.
Yep.
ACC
right.
on paper looks down, but
right.
realistically, could be a little better than maybe people are giving them credit for. Mike, this has been a pleasure, as always.
It's been a pleasure,
so
man.
Much fun.
Always having a blast.
For Mike Pritchard, for our producer Matt Santos, I'm Ben Wilson. We are done here on the Lombardi Line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.